Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, with all that is going on, I am concerned about so much. Yes for me, yes for others, and also the whole world is having things go on. So, Lord, guide me and protect me. Guide us and protect all of us. And them, the people who are having the events around them. Watch after all and bring all of these closer to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometime we are okay. And we are doing really good. Sometime. And sometime we just don't know how we're going to get by with whatever it is that is in front of us. So here we are on the edge of springtime, and there is value in what is normal and natural. You know, the blue sky, the sun, the flowers getting ready to bloom or blooming. There is much beauty in the world that we have. It's natural beauty, and we sure appreciate it. We love it, and sometime we have trouble with the created systems of the world that man created. They're the things that have to do with, banking and government and all that kind of stuff. And we just kind of don't really agree with it. But all these things are going on, and we are having some struggles with the money system or with the money we earn and what we have to buy. There's struggles all over the place. We are just dealing with it. But there's so many people who feel the pressure where they don't have hope. And for instance, 90% of the young people under age 30, I mean, that's young, so they don't think that they will ever own a home. They just don't see it possible because of the income, the expenses, and how the prices are going. So it's another little pressure, a big pressure. Some people just don't understand how they're going to get through it. And yes, it can be the young people, but the old people are affected also. You know, the elderly, 30% of those over age 65 have applied for food stamps. So there's a concern there about how they're going to make it. How are they going to stay alive? It's just a wonder how it would be if we could just look at the beauty of our natural world, enjoy the flowers, enjoy maybe the happiness that a child has. There are many things to enjoy, And we mostly have developed plans and expectations that they're not realistic. I mean, that's just a way of the whole world nowadays. There are people with plans, with ideas, hopes and desires that just are not going to be reached. They can't be reached. They are not estimating what they need to do to reach those goals. So, what are we going to do when we deal with the people who have that frustration? Sometimes it's even anger. Great dissatisfaction. And they think they're doing well. I am generalizing, but it is for the purpose of this discussion. There's people who just don't have a source of joy in their life. They have hopes and expectations, and they have plans that they believe are going to be reached, but it's not realistic. And so where are we going to find our joy in life? Where will it be? Now, I think of that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Don't worry, be happy. So is that what we're going to be doing actively? Just tell yourself that over and over again and see how it works. Are you going to have success at feeling joy if you sing the line from that song? Or what about if you just decide you're going to be happy? It's going to be you, and you are going to make the choice. I'm going to be happy. Yes, okay. Well, how do you think that would work for you or somebody else? Just saying it is not the whole expression of happiness in your life. Sometimes it takes more than just saying it, feeling it, and doing what you know how to live. It's a question. I guess some people have some success at it, but mostly it just doesn't work to be telling yourself an illusion, a false hope. I think of happiness, and I do think it has to do with a person's expectations, but the big expectations that I see have to do with your relation with God, with Jesus, God, Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then you can just have a grasp of what happiness is about because you have a happy, born-again relation with Jesus Christ. And that will have an impact on all the people that you talk to. Because that's your purpose. Your purpose becomes doing what Jesus has in mind for you. And that's how you would be happy, by being obedient to what Jesus says to do. Now, I know that word obedient has a whole lot of baggage with it, but it's a word that is used in the Bible, and I think that we ought to remember what is in the Bible. We ought to think about it, and we ought to have our expectations line up with the Bible. And that is something that we all have to come to terms with, that we have a relation with God, Jesus, and it's not with a religion. It's not with something that has to do with the human structure of things. It has to do with God. Now, I know that there's a whole lot of people who are praying for other people. The young people in our families are very loved, and there is a lot of prayer going for these young people who really, they do need prayer. They get so engaged in looking at things of the world that they really forget about all the goodness that there is in a relation with God. They forget about God. They don't think about God. They say things like, well, I don't even want to say it, but it has to do with the world and not with God. And that's something that we, as friends, parents, and grandparents, can have something to say. Of course, we have to do it carefully, but we can say something in a way that has an impact on the young people or on their parents. It's something which we want to do, and we have to be brave enough to do it and smart enough to have it be said in a way that is accepted. Because some people say whatever they are thinking, and they become abrasive. They become unpleasant. And nobody wants to listen to people who are unpleasant, who have a tone in their voice, or who are forceful about the gentle and soft message of Jesus Christ that they want to share, but they speak forcefully. And that just, it just doesn't work so well. So when you are thinking about talking to, yeah, let's say a young person, that you do it in a way that considers them and their personal journey. That will help you to get your message to be heard and not just have it be, It just, you have to do it smart. And that's, you will know the best way for that to happen. Because often enough, just in life, we make choices and decisions that we wish we had not. That is just kind of regular. You know, we have goals and expectations too. And we can assume that they will never be reached, some of them will. But when we forget about the importance of hope in a person's life, it means that we're probably not going to be heard. People won't listen to us. They will be too busy with whatever is on their mind and schedule that day. So be smart. Think about what you have in mind to say, and then let it be said with kindness, with love. Well, even people who have spent a year climbing that proverbial ladder, everyone can change their ideas and their goals. I mean, that's what people do. We find that there's a better way of considering whatever we were thinking about. So yeah, give it a little thought and see if you can decide what is the best thing for you and for them in different terms. You're talking about two different people with two different situations, and you get to figure out how you're going to communicate with them. Now, some of the people have decided on a location they're going to live in. It might be a city. It might be that they are city people. It might be that they have a goal and a desire and they are working to it. And you can certainly notice what they are doing and compliment them. Compliment's a good thing if it's not overdone. So think about what would be the right choice of words when you talk about that other person and what they need to hear. It's not about you sharing the gospel. Well, I guess I said that a little wrong. It is about you sharing the gospel, but it is more about them hearing the gospel that you are going to share. So there are plenty of people who are trying to do that sharing, but if you're a little older, then you can think a little better how you can do it. Because that is just, it's just how, what we do. We're people. We care about other people. And we try to make things happen in a way that is good and acceptable to them. So, you know, yeah. Think about who they are. Are they young? Are they old? Are they rich? Are they poor? Are they strong? Are they handicapped? What are they interested in? Give thought to all these things so that you can make a better discussion of what you have to say. See if you can tie it into Jesus somehow. Now, sometimes we have to think a lot, and sometimes it just comes to us. But whatever it takes, just give it some of your good thought, because you want to share Jesus with other people. We all do. We want people we know to go to heaven and to be good and decent people when they are on earth. So determination is good, but you also have to have the right message with it. That's just what it is. There's some people who are just having a little different lifestyle. They might even live without electricity. They might live without a car. They might live without an internet. And the point is that all these people are trying to live the life that they can with the goals that they have in mind. And you are working with them to try to understand and discover what they need. Obviously, they not need God. Everybody needs God. They need Jesus. And it's a matter of trying to find out the rest of their life so that you have something that is a basis of conversation. That's a good thing to have. Well, I think of the pioneers in the early days and how they didn't have things. I think of the people today. Today we don't have everything we want. And so it's a matter of how do we get what we want? How do we get, let's just say electricity, when the electricity bills are $300 a month. How do we do that? There is a way. It's just that it's not what we want to do. So you consider all those things and try to figure out how you can relate to a person with those kind of needs, or how you can relate to yourself and make the payments that you need to pay so that you can have that great luxury of electricity or whatever it is, a single family home, a car, study that you want to study, a company with the person that you want to spend time with. All these things are just what we can think about and how we can prepare for doing what is the best thing we can do to pursue our goals of loving God and sharing Jesus Christ with people. You know how to do that better than anyone if you think about it. The trouble is, most of us don't think that we need to do it. We think that our pastor can do it. We think that somebody would be better at it than we are. So we end up doing nothing. And that is always a mistake, because God can use the things that you do. And you don't know how. I mean, just think, you could make a complete improper, unpopular argument, and the person would say, "Get out of my home. We're done." And yet the next person who comes along might have something relating to that, and then it's in place in their home. They didn't want it, but they allowed it to be there for a day or two, let's just say. I don't know. And so this is how God works with multiple people in ways that you cannot even understand. You would not have guessed. It's just the way God works. He's amazing. God is awesome. Is wow. All the things, they're miracles, really, that he does. It's just an amazing thing. So, we have tomorrow, and we have to think about how we're going to do God's will tomorrow. Yes, we live on with so much going on around us. What do we need? Do we need gas for our car? Do we need a credit system? Do we need too many things? It's something that we all have to ponder to understand how we can find what we need around us and do it in a way that is acceptable. I think writing things on paper is always good. You might have a ledger for the costs that you are having. And you want to see if you are on track with your budget or not. And that just is a, it's what we all kind of deal with and face on a daily basis or on a weekly basis or monthly basis. And that is what we do. We examine it and try to understand and try to agree. That's just life as we know it. There's not a lot of choices to do anything else. Well, if you're having a great big monthly income and you can just spend what you earn without paying attention, oh, there's a very few people like that. Is that 5% of the population, maybe? Maybe. But the thing is we cannot expect to do that. And we don't want to live like that because it'll make us go broke very quick. But there's things going on in the world that we can pay attention to and try to do things better, and also to try to get someone to be accepting of who Jesus Christ is to them personally and what they can do. Have them sing a song of hallelujah. That reminds me of, I don't remember the psalm numbers, 98 maybe? Shout a shout of joy. And I thought that was really interesting because it says shout. Shout a shout of joy. And it's not like we're expected to sing the hymnal songs all the day long or the songs that are delicate. No, shout a shout of joy. I think of that and I think, wow, that is a pretty good change of thought from what we so often think. So yeah, please listen to these things. Try to pay attention and understand. Look at who your audience is, the people you're with. What do they need to hear? How do you need to speak to them so that they can understand Jesus Christ? It's just a big question. It takes a little thinking or a lot of thinking, but somehow that's what it takes. It takes thinking and then you're doing it. Sometimes we just don't do so good if we go just quickly and seat of the pants. And sometimes that's what we do, and it works perfect. Well, let's just do the best we know how. And really, I don't even know how that is. I just know that we want to be a certain way, and we want to do things that are God-honoring and loving to people. So let's do what we can. I think that's the whole answer. Do what you can, but think about it so that you can effectively do it. Anyway, that's my opinion. Well, we live in a world where there's so many good things that we want to buy. Are we going to buy it with our assets, or are we going to buy it on credit so that we pay for it as we go along? Our credit system is so rapidly expanding, and I think all we can do is... Well, what we can. I don't even know what to tell you it is, because it can be that credit system that we just is not healthy, or it can be because to spend money before you get it, it just leads to slavery where you have no choice, but you have to work. If you're in debt, you have to work. But if you buy things that you want and save up ahead of time, then once you buy it, it's yours, and you don't have to worry about the payments at all after that. So that's my thinking of what is a good and healthy relation with money. Let's just say with money. And that money includes what you do in the world, because money is a part of the world, and we want it to serve God also. How are we going to serve God with our money? It's just another part of who we are. We have money. So what are we going to do with it? There's been a few times in everyone's life where we did not have money. And it was really awkward. And we had all these desires to fill, and we couldn't. So do that plan, write it down, write it out, and see what your ideas are for how to relate to Christ today. Yeah. Well, if you have any, okay. So we have this system of credit and of debit, and it's something that we have and our government has, and this has led to some very huge spending by our government, where they spend money they don't have. They borrow it. And we want to do that too. We do it so we think it's okay. But it's not. Because at some point, our national debt will be bigger than we can even pay. In fact, it probably is right there, has been there for a while. Because if you look at what $1 billion is, $30 billion is, it's hard to relate to. Which is why I came up with thinking about what 1 million seconds is, thinking about what 1 billion seconds is, and thinking about what 1 trillion seconds is. It's practically overwhelming. 1 million seconds is 12 days. 1 billion seconds is 32 years. 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. So we have to work out what is going on, yes, with our government, and yes, with us too. What are we doing with our debt? Are we going to be okay with what's going on? I think about Thomas Jefferson. I think about the founding fathers sometime. Just now, Thomas Jefferson. He said, if we allow private banking to control the issuing of our currency, then by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and the corporations will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent, their fathers, their forefathers settled and conquered. So that's the thing. I think of that. How did Thomas Jefferson know that so long ago? Well, money doesn't change, and people don't change either. Not hardly. So what we get to do is figure out what we are going to do about our debt. Yes, personally. And yes, for our national debt. It's a matter of if we do nothing, nothing will happen. And at least we can talk to people about it, because most people don't have an idea of what our national debt is or how we are going to get out of it. It's just not known. But you can look at what's going on today, and you can see the beginning of the pattern that Thomas Jefferson talked about. The banks and the corporations are buying private property that belonged to people. And that means the people are not owning the property, but the banks and the corporations are. So, what could happen here? Well, I think of what the World Economic Forum guy in charge, Klaus Schwab, said. And he said, you will own nothing, and you will be happy. How does that happen? If I don't have a shirt, if I don't have a shoe, if I don't have warm clothes, if I don't have whatever it is, a car, if I don't have a bicycle, if I don't have a cooking pot, how will I be happy? I think we are happy when we have things, but it's quite different when somebody in the elite, the very richest of the rich, says, you will own nothing and be happy. That means he intends to get it from the rich people. Well, that's surely what I see. You can see what you like, but that is what I see. Well, we have a system going on. The system is going on to deprive Americans of everything. And that has been a plan that has gone on since roughly 1970. And it was discussed in that day, and having the people own nothing. That was just said. It was understood that that was the plan. So for 40 years now, closer to 50, it's about that. This plan has been developing, and we have been asleep at examining what it means. So we really don't have any idea of what will happen or when it will happen, because we haven't studied the matter. But if we looked at the central banks and the bankruptcies, it is something that it's going to come back. It's just that they might have to print a lot of money to make the system work with the new United Nations dollars, or whatever they call them. It doesn't matter what they're called. They might be called pieces of bit, whatever it is. It could be anything. It could be the needles from a cactus. It could be wings that have flown insects, and now they have value. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just a matter that you can only have so much in a government before the government goes broke. So we have these things, and we are facing a world that is saying you can own nothing and be happy. Just don't worry about it. It'll be okay. Everything's going to be good. So, no, I don't know it. I don't mean I propose it or anything like that. I just mean that the world has that idea, and if you do nothing, you will get taken in by the world, and the world will be very happy to have you under control. So you get to choose. Do you want the responsibility that comes with being a free person? What does it take to be free? It's not easy to be free. To be free, we have to think, and we have to have a plan, and then we have to do it. Otherwise, you fall into the hands of the rich people. Whoever you want to call them, they want to own everything you have. Hence that World Economic Forum Klaus Schwab saying, you will own nothing and be happy. This is what the plan is. And good luck with that one. Lots of happiness to you, huh? Well, it's something that if we have no awareness of, I'm afraid we're going to get taken into it. And how do you get taken into it? Well, it's all different for everybody. That's for sure. But whatever it is, you can know that that's the direction, and you can see how to avoid it. That is just what we do. It's they have their system, and we have our system about how to do things. So know that we want what we want, and we don't want to have pain and suffering or nothing. You will own nothing and be happy, right? I that's not my goal. I want to have a few things. It's not that I need a lot, but I certainly like to have a few things. I suspect that you are that way too. So how are you going to keep the things that you desire when there is a world that says you should own nothing? That's been going around. That's about, let's see. Oh, it's more than 5 years old that has been spoken to many groups of people. I suppose it's kind of like indoctrination. They are telling you what they want you to think. And I don't know how to tell you what to think, except you have to be careful. You have to really be serious about how you're going to stay free in a world that wants to make you a slave. Now, these are my words, but it's not too different from what other sources talk about. They talk about having you be in a system and using whatever it is that the system has, not your own stuff. So it's kind of the same, it's kind of different, and about all you can do is what you can. But it really, really helps to have an idea of what is going on, what they want, and what you can get to have your system work when there is no more. When there is no more, oh, we really get sad because we don't have choices anymore. Choices are done and over. So you think about this really, really good. Think about the system that is in place right now, and it's only getting more strongly in place. There's a lot of things you can't do. A lot of things you can't do without a credit card. And there are places that only accept credit cards. And it seems like the reason for that is because there is no trust between people. If there was trust between people, you could trust that somebody was not going to wreck the hotel room. You could trust that people were going to pay for everything they ordered on the menu. You could trust your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you could trust them to be really what they say they are going to be. How is trust doing in these days? Well, not so good. We rely on the legal system to provide a discussion for us about how we can get what we want, and that includes the money part of things. How can I get the money that they owe me? I'm going to sue them. They are spreading bad information. I'm going to sue them. I don't mean me. I mean people who talk like this. They talk about how easy it is to sue somebody. Well, that is a pretty tough and expensive thing. It is not easy. Do you really have the proof that you need to be certain that your allegation will be heard? I mean, some of it does seem simple, but no, you cannot expect it to go that way. You have to have a good argument for everything you're discussing, everything you're thinking. Have these discussions and have whatever it is that you're going to need in the way of an argument, yes, a position. Yes, do that. Have some thoughts about what you're going to do. Oh, the system that is coming is a beast system. I mean, we already know that. It's in the Bible. And the things in the Bible come true. So have that beast system understood so that you can see what you are going to do when the beast system comes. Are you going to be able to deal with it all? No, maybe yes, maybe no. How are you going to eat? How are you going to interact with people who are in the beast system? What about your family who says, oh, look what I got, and where's yours? You should get in the system too. If there was a real answer, I think I'd know it. I don't know the real answer, and I don't know what you're thinking either, because it's complicated. It is complex. It's not like there's just one answer. There's not. But you know that you don't want to get involved in that mark of the beast system, because the Bible says if you do that, you're not going to heaven. You're going to hell. So, you know you don't want to do that. Your life is only going to be so long anyway. Have it happen that you are going to not accept the beast system. And that means they're going to somehow take off the heads of a lot of people, however you see that, or whatever you see. People are going to die, and it's not going to be pretty. But ask yourself, How many times has the Bible lied? Or does it always tell you the good and right information? Well, as far as I can see, the Bible has always been correct. It has always told the truth. And we learn what it says, and we grasp at the meaning so that we can have an understanding of what is the best for us to do. I know when I was a early young Christian, I used to think that, oh, I know better than that. The Bible says to do this. Oh, maybe a little bit. I'll do that a little bit, but I think it's not smart to do it that way. Well, it only took me a couple of times to learn that the way the Bible described was absolutely the best. And I think since then I have not, I've not changed and done things in the way I want them done. I want to follow the Bible principle. I want to do it the way the Bible tells me. Anyway, that's my experience. Well, no, not just mine. A lot of people have had that experience, and I hope it's yours also. There's a remarkable thing that is in the Bible. It is called truth. I remember the first, the second time I read the Bible through, I remember being surprised to myself and saying, I have never read a truer book. So, it's a true book. Now, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with knowing the truth? Well, are you going to live according to that? Are you going to live like you know the truth? That might be a little change. You might have to change a few things that you do or say, because that's what being born again is about. We turn from the sin and the things that are like sin in God's eyes. We turn from it and we follow Christ Jesus all the way. All the way. You know where it's going to be? All the way. And that all the way might be to either speak or to not speak, and it might be to the very cross. You might follow Christ to the cross. I might too. It's something that is not to be feared, because Christ, the people who have been on their way to death have said that it was the best time to have Jesus with them. So, that was a man from China. He said the closest that he's ever been to Jesus when he was tortured in prison, and he would never change anything, because the time he spent with Jesus in prison was so valuable, precious, wonderful, that if he had to be tortured, he would do it again just to have Jesus close to him. I can't remember the name, but it's a testimony that I remember, and maybe there's a lot of testimonies that you can look up and you can get some really good understanding from. You can understand the sacrifice that goes on, the devotion that people have to God Jesus Christ. And you can say, yes, Lord. Say it with a brand new feeling, a brand new spirit, a brand new everything about you. Yes, Lord. For whatever it is, Jesus will take care of us. Jesus will be with us through the hard times. I haven't been anything like a prison camp, but I've had a little bit of interaction with Jesus in tough times, and I know I will say he's there. So it's just another little bit of testimony that we all can have, and you can understand what you can from it. Now, there's a lot of people who are Christians today, and they have a whole variety of experiences. I listened to Glenn Beck, because there was something on there talking about Pope Benedict. And it's not that I'm following the popes or anything like that. It is part of the system today, so I listen to hymns sometimes, the pope issues, whatever they are. Anyway, that Pope Benedict, or before he was pope, he was Cardinal Ratzinger, and it was Glenn Beck who described his visit to the Vatican when he was there. And there was one of the archbishops in the crowd, and previously, like earlier in the day, Glenn Beck had talked to that cardinal, and there was something in the conversation about the Antichrist. Maybe it was like, are you concerned that the Antichrist will be coming into the world? Well, anyway, that archbishop remembered, I think he was a cardinal. I'm kind of recalling here. But anyway, it was on Glenn Beck and a discussion about Pope Benedict. So that, I'm going to call him a cardinal. I think it was a cardinal. Described to Glenn Beck that there was a man over there who you really have to meet. Is a man that is going to make a difference. And Glenn Beck did meet him, and Glenn Beck said he had never felt this way ever with a person. He felt absolute evil in the presence of this cardinal, with this man. And it was right in the middle of the Vatican. So, was he or was he not? I can't answer that. But I understand that a person can feel that kind of evil around them. And apparently, Glenn Beck did. So, what does that mean anyway? It means that there is evil, even in the places that we don't think evil will be. And we want to be aware of staying holy with Christ Jesus. That has to be where our focus is. But know that there is a battle going on in the world, and it is even going on at the Vatican, according to what Glenn Beck says. Now, I don't follow Glenn Beck. I don't really know what he talks about. But I did listen to that. The description of it interested me. So, yes, I listened, and it was interesting. And I would say that it is an old story about the battle between good and evil. It's just that was another illustration that there is evil in the world. So, how accurate? I don't know how accurate, but it made an impression on me that somebody had such a strong impression of evil. So I have to say, it sounds like it's right, it sounds like it's true. But for what is coming, we do have to grasp what it is we want. How are we going to ensure that we are going to live through the times that are the mark of the beast times? Are we going to be here? Some people say, no, we're going to be out of there. Well, I think all this time, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, there was a system building, and it was an early part of the Mark of the Beast system. Now, is that me? Yeah, it's me. I thought about that. I've identified it. Am I right? Am I wrong? I don't know, but I'm saying it, and I'm saying that we have to be prepared for whatever it is that is coming. And if it's the Beast system, then how are we going to prepare to deal with it? Now, it can be a little beast system. It doesn't have to be the full-blown take a mark or get your head cut off, but it might be. At some point, the Bible describes pretty much that. So my vote is, yeah, the Bible's going to be correct. I believe the Bible. And so what am I going to do to stay out of the beast system? Even a little bit out, or maybe completely out. It's something that I want to entertain and give some thought to. How are we going to do it when we live according to Christ and are holy and following Christ? I'm sure it won't be easy. And I'm sure that we will wish we had some things. Oh, sure, like food or like a car to drive. I mean, this is all a part of the things that we want to have. And to get this, we have to be prepared for whatever is coming. So think about it for yourself, for your family, for others. Just think about what you can do so that you don't have to engage in that beast system. It's never too late to start thinking about it. It's never too late to start doing something about it. Sure, everything's more expensive now. There are shortages of quite a few things, but there still is something we can do. We can stay alive, and we can see what we can do. I do think about the people who are able to do a lot, and there are rich people who really are able to plan for some really awesome things, just great plans. They have an underground house in the woods, or in the middle of a field in the middle of the country, and it is well stocked with everything that they might want: food, entertainment. They have security there, a 3-man team, a 5-man team, whatever. They're very rich people, so all they do is they hire the team, and the team goes to live there on a full-time basis to keep that property safe for the very rich man, person, whatever, family. It's a retreat. And they have all the things that they could want to stay alive for a few years. Now, how do I know this? It has been the testimony of quite a few people. And they have reported building these things or supplying what the home needs for the ultra-rich people. And that includes the 3 or 5 security people that are there and their own family. There's probably going to be an airfield next to that elite person's home, that rich person's home. That's how they do it. And sometimes they even have a jet that can land, and that jet can take them to another country. It's always different. People do things different when they're ultra rich, and we can hardly even comprehend it. But it might be something we want to concern ourselves with. If we see the government preparing like they have, the government has prepared for years about what to do if there is a nuclear attack on the United States. That's just plain. That's well understood. And the elite people know this kind of a discussion. But we have heard from the people who build the remote location safe houses or retreats. They're kind of the same thing. But the point is they are being built and stocked for the elite rich people. We know that it's a secret. I mean, they don't tell you where they are going to be. And the people who are the builders that we hear this information from, they won't tell who the person is or where the location is. About all we can grasp if we are searching is we would have to find an airfield next to a remote home in the middle of the country. That's probably the best bet to identify where a rich elite person's home is. And it would take some real searching to look. But we get this information, again, from the people who build the homes, and now there are people who are supplying the rich people's homes with whatever they need. Lots of food, lots of ammo, whatever it is. The rich person, the elite rich person, decides what they need, and they assign somebody to do what it is they want, whether it's fences or upkeep to the airfield, or they want the field next to them plowed, whatever it is. The people that work for the elite do what they are told, and they get a place in the woods to come to. Presumably, it is for them and their family, and they get to live there in the middle of chaos. So, again, this it's not first-hand knowledge, so I can't tell you that I heard this or that from so-and-so. Well, yeah, I kind of can. But the point is, it's not a good and clear document. It's not that we really have this documented. It's not like it's well known. There are people who do build these houses in a special arrangement, and they can build them to withstand all sorts of things. It's a matter of what does the person want and how much are they willing to pay for it. That's really the whole thing. Because you can really build anything a person wants. And what are they looking at protecting from? Everybody's different. Everybody's different. So, the thing that I would say is these homes are being built, and we want to be aware that there's people both in government and outside of government that have an idea of what they want to stay safe in the middle of what? A pandemic? A revolution? A civil war? I mean, these are things that are being talked about very actively now. It's just a matter of somebody making a decision and telling somebody who works for them, go fix it. Go act on this. And that's what they do, because they've been told to do it. Yes. So listen to any past broadcasts on Christ Today, www.christtoday.org, and write me, certainly with prayer requests, because they have made a big difference to me. I'm so pleased to both be prayed for and to pray for other people. So that is just something I invite you to send me a prayer request, and I'll put it with others and remember you in prayer. So write me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And always, I'm glad that you listened today. It's nice that when I think about these things, I can talk to them about to somebody about these ideas. So I'm just grateful for the people that listen, and certainly if you have a response, yes, I'm grateful for that too. So God bless you. Be prepared for whatever is coming, and I don't know what it is, but it sure looks like it's not going to be easy to get through. God bless you.